This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's time to raise your game on enterprise. This is Frida Liu together with Rick Coles from Coles Training, and we're doing a little series on customer service, the business differentiator, and it's a three-parter. And today we're talking about why great customer service is vital today and how to attract the customer in the first place. Well, welcome back, Rick. And
Thank you. You've
done some research in the customer service levels of Malaysia, plus your own work underway, and you've been here for a couple months now.
That's right.
What are the key issues emerging from that research and what you've observed?
Well, I think all of us can observe, as we're all customers, and that makes it very interesting. But I guess I'm observing with a bit of a, not a keener eye, but more closely some of the intricacies and the plus and minuses of the customer service that I'm experiencing, not just here, but in the region. And I'm going back to the Middle East on the weekend, so obviously I'll be looking at Dubai more closely as well. Look, it can be the number one driver for an organization, and as you said, I lived here for 3 months, and I'm noticing very much about the about the universal aspect of living here now. There's many different cultures who have experienced customer service back in their own cultures in different degrees of excellence or not. One point I realize is that when demand outstrips supply, companies feel that they're already supplying goods and services, but they don't have any new rivals, and that's not true here anymore. Customer service is a competitive differentiator, and any global company should realize that it's the number one driver towards better profits, the bottom line. It's vital today, and how to keep and delight hard-earned customers is only smart strategy.
And also, I guess when you talk about customers as well, global companies, I guess every company that aspires to be global, or, you know, we are global. If you're online, it is global.
Correct. Every company is global in some shape or form now because of the social media that they're involved with. But obviously, if you're based here in Kuala Lumpur, this is your head office, you want to satisfy your customers here. Greatly, and this is where your reputation will be built, made or not made. People want to have satisfying experiences. It's another key issue. There's lots of different products and services which are the same from company to company, but what people want from that particular product that they've bought is something special. They also want, I found in talking to many companies, is that they want someone to listen to them. They want them to think of their needs in particular, not what we think are the needs, but what are the specific needs of the customers that are coming to them. And what angers these customers, of course, that we have, that any organization has, is poor procedures, policies, and standards. In fact, maybe there are none at all. And when you think about where a customer can complain now, years ago they could only write a letter, which then the company could throw into the bin or not. I always looked at complaints as an opportunity, not a threat, and good companies will do that. But when you think that in this country, I found out that 66% of the people who are online have a Facebook account. 66%, that's rather high, one of the highest in the world. What does that mean, of course? Well, it means that if you're unhappy with a product or service or an individual from the company that you've been dealing with, you can tell a lot of people about it. And that's frightening. But it's also an opportunity, because it means that if somebody's happy about something they experienced, then they can tell so many more people than they could before. So I think that's one of the important things about, you know, it's your internal organization, about how you operate internally will reflect externally. One writer of customer service, Jan Carlsen, said, if you're not looking after the customer, you better be looking after someone who is. Internally is what he meant. And this will be experienced externally for sure.
Okay. Now, why do you think customer service is what you call in your writings the unexplored differentiator?
Well, we those who have studied strategy, of course, will know about Michael Porter's competitive advantage. And What I call it an unexplored differentiator is that I think it's a differentiator facing every company, and they don't do anything about it. They don't realize that one of the best ways to set themselves apart from everybody else and all the other competitors is through your customer service. It's facing them. However, what stops that from happening, Frida? Well, I think it's the misunderstanding of the cost of training. I think it's not necessary. Look, that somebody once said, education has a cost, but it's far less than the cost of ignorance. And therefore, I think the training is one of the best ROIs or return on investments a company can make, provided the company that does the training works hard at sustaining that training. It's the hit and miss. It's the one-off. Yeah, everybody pumps the air. That's great. We're going to do it. We're going to go to number one, and so on and so forth. And 2 weeks later, the boss sees the old habits coming in. So the training has to be sustained over time, and there's different ways of doing that. And perhaps I leave that for now. The other reason I think that the unexplored differentiator is not explored is time. It's taking the time. They also have it's just a simple awareness. That and hopefully what we're talking about now will make some companies who are listening aware that customer service can set them apart. There is also the attitude of the frontliners, which is a big worry as well. Again, sometimes accepting or thinking or assuming that their role isn't as important as others. I mean, I've often met people who are reception who come on my courses, and I do the introductions, and she says, "Well, I'm not actually in customer service. I'm on reception." I say, "Pardon? You're one of the key people, frontliners that we've got, the receptionist. Anybody in a company. This is where the seamless effort of an organization can have a powerful effect." So customer centricity is not flavor of the month anymore, Frida. It's really all about including the management and the top-down effect of the management being behind it and being seen to be behind the effort.
Okay. You know, I was going to ask you if customer service made a difference in organizations' bottom line. And I think people know, yes, it is. But the thing is, do you think customer service is given the importance it deserves here in Malaysia or anywhere?
Sure. Well, it should. I mean, if you look at one statistic, which is amazing, and Malaysia is full of amazing statistics when you think about it, it's the tourism is the ninth revenue earner. No, sorry, I'm sorry. Malaysia is ninth in the world in incoming tourism figures. This is fantastic. So you have a reputation. That's one thing. You have a need to have return visitors come here. I'm from a tourism background, an airline background, actually. And I know the countries that have this ability to draw you back. And part of the reason is obviously the sights and scenes and the attractions of Malaysia are remarkable. We know that. But that's not everything. It's also how you're treated at the airport, how you're treated by the taxi, how you're treated at the hotel. You had a hotel experience recently, which is very positive.
The customs officials should start smiling, though.
Yeah.
In every airport.
In every airport would help, yeah. I mean, it's the first point of contact, isn't it? So some airports in the world do this really well, of course.
Okay, now we talk about that as well. You know, I had a great experience at a hotel, and they were just very warm and everything. And also with customer service, sometimes it's not just things getting done, but it's that extra something. And I have to say this, when you go to Thailand or you go to Bali, and it just seems so innate.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's partly from the internal culture. But I put forward the question: are we not here the same? Can you if you put a Thai stewardess next to an Indonesian stewardess next to a Malaysian stewardess, I think they all would welcome you on board pretty warmly. Why is it that we assume that our neighbors are better at customer service than us? It need not be. It's about having that understanding. I think that's where I start in my consultation of training, is getting the organization to understand the effect that better customer service can have on your organization. And when you talk to CEOs and management team about the actual revenue aspect of it. Then they sit up and listen and say, tell me a bit more, because it does have a bottom line effect. I can give you heaps of figures. We don't have time for today. Mm. About happy customers will tell five or six people, plus minus. Unhappy customers will tell double that or triple that.
All right. Now, if a product is good and needed, do we really need customer service? Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment. I'm here with Rick Coles from Coles Training in Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9. You're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. This is Frida Liu together with Rick Coles from Coles Training. This is the first part of a three-parter on customer service, the business differentiator, and we're talking about why great customer service is vital today and how to attract the customer in the first place, and we'll get to that in just a moment. So why does customer service matter? Really, if the product is good and needed, and Apple comes to mind.
Yeah, sure. It's the old supply and demand theory, right? Demand outstrips supply, and therefore customer service suffers. But think about the downturn, and every organization has a downturn, or country, and hopefully we don't. But the point is, when that comes, did you deliver good customer service in the first place? That people will think of you. When you introduce a new exciting product that's maybe a little bit more, it's quite innovative and creative, etc., but it's quite different and maybe it has a higher price, you will attract people back to at least consider it because you gave good customer service. But also I like to think about the employee themselves when they deliver good customer service, because every human being will ask, what's in it for me? Why should I do this? And I get asked this a lot. Why should I study customer service? Well, your work and life becomes more enjoyable. That's one. Helping people is worthwhile. Not to sound corny, but it is worthwhile.
Yeah.
The public has a right to expect good service, so I think pride comes in here very, very much. Let's think of this. Upset customers cause stress. And who likes stress? We have enough, huh? We have enough stress. So keeping customers happy will reduce the stress. It's cost savings and efficiency, which is a business imperative today, of course. And it reduces the complaints. So I think that there's a lot of good reasons for the employee. There's a lot of good reasons for the organization. There's a lot of good reasons for management. But at the center of everything, as I always said to my sales teams, at the center of everything that we do and every initiative that we introduce, I ask this question: how will it impact the customer? That was the first question I would ask when we had brainstorming or solution to problems. How? Okay, guys, that sounds great, but how will it impact the customer? Because, Frida, I can't think of anybody else who pays the bills out there.
Yep. Hmm.
Except the customer, unless you have a wonderful benefactor, and you're and some companies maybe have, but somebody who will feed the organization with finance. I don't. So it's the customer.
Okay. So what makes customers really happy and delighted, and how can we attract the customer in the first place?
Well, what makes them happy and delighted is numerous things. Is actually so many things have been identified. One of the things, of course, is that their expectations will be exceeded. Everybody has a value expectation, not only with somebody. Look, the smile and thank you, I think, should be standard before you actually are put in front of a customer. You can smile, thank you, and please come back again. I mean, or say it in your most natural way. But it's the added value that customers are looking for. There's a great equation. And that is, if you heavily weigh the value of something that you're selling, and customer service is part of that value, people are part of that value, then that will outweigh the cost implications in the customer's mind. Of course, there's a price they pay. The price is standard, unless you're in a souk where you can do deals. Is that your bottom price? Well, that's a different matter. But in a lot of cases, it's the price is standard, but it's the cost in your mind, psychological cost, time cost. Maybe you buy this product, you have to forego something else to buy this product. So we have to heavily weigh the value, and value comes from people. If we look at the marketing mix, which is traditionally called the four P's, but I talk a lot about four plus two P's, which is the classical. So we have the promotion, we have people, we have place, and we have product. But the two that are very important in customer service are people and processes. I don't know if I told the story, but very briefly, the chairman of IBM or CEO of IBM a couple of years ago was interviewed, and he was asked the question, what do you think of your people? Tell me your thoughts about your people. He said, I'll tell you about my people. You can take away my infrastructure, take away all our buildings, all our equipment, our fleet of planes, and take everything away, but leave me my people, and I'll start the business again tomorrow. Little bit of a flamboyant way to answer, but what he was trying to say was that people were one of the most important ingredients. And people, Frida, are ambassadors. They curate stories. They curate wins. You've already told me one this morning.
Yeah.
I told you one pre-show, right? And I guess if we sat down for an hour, we could throw a lot of other good and bad ideas around that we've experienced since we last met. And that's just two people.
Mm.
What's the population of Malaysia?
28.
28 million people. You remember I spoke about the moments of truth.
Mm.
Moments of truth are every contact with the customer, whether it's 15 seconds or 15 minutes, is a moment to help that customer believe that their decision to buy your product or service is the right one.
Hmm.
A moment of truth.
Yeah, and I should make mention of this when I was at Sheraton in Langkawi, and the staff was really sweet and was doing raya. They actually brought their own rendang and ketupat from their home and say, try this out, you know. And that was really sweet, because you know,
yeah,
we weren't built on that one.
Well, that's good. I mean, they're known. I mean, one of my research findings is that hotels in Malaysia and around the world, actually, have very good in-house customer service training in general, right? And therefore, any additional training that is conducted is sort of cream on the top. It's extra, and but they're quite good. There's a great book out on. I don't want to pinpoint one hotel because they're all have great, as I said, products. But the Ritz-Carlton, it's called The Ritz-Carlton Way, I think.
Mm.
And the stories are in there, it's about ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. You're probably aware of the book.
Yeah. We've actually had the people from the Ritz come on as well.
Ah, well, you've heard.
Well, how can Malaysia improve its service standards?
How can we what?
Improve its service standards.
Sure. Well, I think, I guess you'd expect me to say it, and I'll say it very briefly, because there's some good other good training providers out there. But I think training, but not just training, the hit and miss sort of one-day training, two-day training, and that's the end of it. Training has to be sustained. And as I said to you, I'm not going to give all these ideas on air, but I have methods in which I sustain the training and sustain the customer service level. I think the other thing is that people have to understand why customer service is vital, and that is the retention. I've touched upon that. Retaining customers. This is your foundation. Understanding the bottom line impact. Protecting your brand reputation or your brand value, and brand value is enormous in some companies. Being creative, I think. Creativity is a differentiator, and serve companies that serve and do things creatively. And I've got so many stories on this, I'm sure you and I have, but these are the ones that stand out and make you want to go back because you want to experience that again. I have to say this, there's a lot of room at the top in customer service. So those companies who aren't doing very much, if you consider it, you could edge your way towards the top of your field because there's a lot of room up there. But I just want to say one more thing on it. Customer service is for everybody. This is not just for those people who are actively in the front line. In my business, was my business, the airline business, for so many years. I felt it was very important that we trained everybody who has a direct or indirect contact with the customer. And don't forget, we also have, besides the external customer service, we have internal customer service. I had a very good internal customer service here this morning. I was offered a fresh cup of coffee. Now, that guy didn't have to... I forgot his name. He didn't have to
do that.
The
boss.
Well, I don't know, but it was much appreciated.
My legal is going to be the boss.
And last point about your question. There's a good question. Policy and standards. In many situations, there aren't enough policy and standards.
Mm.
Nobody knows how to answer a complaint.
Hmm.
And I asked them, I said, well, if somebody complains, what's the policy here on complaints? I don't know. I'll have to check. Everybody should know that because it's a very rich source of information.
It's probably avoidance.
Well, this is it. We do put our head in the sand. Nobody likes complaints. It's stressful.
Now, there is also a perception that sales and service careers are part-time jobs.
Oh.
I don't know how much it is in the U.S. or Canada where you're from, but you know, but here sometimes people don't sort of look at it and think this is a place where I can grow and this is an industry. So what's your opinion of that, and what skills do we need to, you know, for excellent customer service?
Okay, my opinion is that treat your role in customer service, whatever you're doing at the moment, with seriousness, because you can, and enjoy it, because for the reasons we spoke about and some obvious ones, you can learn a lot from that, which you can carry forward. I often have a quote about everything has a ripple effect. I mean, everything I did in my first 5 or 10 years of my career have in some shape or form helped me in the future, and I hope in the long future ahead. Therefore, I do draw on those formative years in the business of being on the front line. I checked in luggage, by the way, at Melbourne Tullamarine Airport, my first airline jobs. I was with Qantas, and the guy who was with Ansett just a couple of counters over, his name is James Hogan. James Hogan is now CEO of Etihad Airways.
Wow.
I am not, by the way. You probably know. However, that's where he went from checking in luggage. And
wow.
If he's listening, he tells that story himself. But I went on to some reasonable airline roles, I have to say. What skills are needed? Well, social skills, interpersonal, being able to talk to different people. When I check luggage in, after I got hit by a brick and somebody said, this is a worthwhile job, and I started to change my paradigm, my mindset. I treated every customer as an interesting interaction. And some of them became friends. Some of them became, when they came to the airport to fly, the regular customers, they came to my queue because I might have done some, maybe the way I interacted, I don't know. So you need that. You need phone skills, because everybody on customer service tells me that they have biggest problem is on the phone, because it's half of communication is lost on the phone, body language. You have to be a good problem solver. When I joined the airline business, I said to my boss, what is it you really expect of me? He said, I want you to solve problems, lower costs, and increase revenue, and do it over and over again. And he said,
decision tasks.
Yeah, that was just that.
Just three things.
Just three things. But then I started to learn that those three things are quite broad, of course. Coping with anger and diffusing aggressive people. These are also important.
All right. And next week we'll discuss how to keep and delight the hard-earned customer with Rick Coles from Coles Training. This is Raising Game. Here are the Doors, Love Street, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.